Wade, hands off the merchandise. Dig it.
Hello, everybody. It's Foxy here from Grapple Arcade, bringing you another episode of Hands Off the Merchandise on bbgwrestling.com. We are joined today by Al from Mass Republic Europe. How are you doing, buddy? How's things?
Yeah, I'm great. Glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Not a problem at all, mate. I know we've been trying to get this together for the last couple of weeks or so, so it's great that we've finally managed to conquer everything that's going on in the UK and overcome the barriers.
Turmoil that's happening, yeah. So,
I thought it would be lovely to get you on, have a bit of a chat about Mass Republic Europe. I know we've had Eric Arania on from Boss Fight Studio on previously a few weeks ago, and he obviously talked a bit about the relationship, the working relationship in regards to the Legends of Lucha Libre action figure line with Mass Republic. And when I found out that there was a European arm of this, it made complete sense to give you a shout. And then you told me that you're from the UK. And I was like, yes, brilliant. Even better, it means I can have a chat at a reasonable hour with somebody and not have to stay up until 2 a.m. like I normally do.
Well, yeah, sometimes our meetings are a bit like that.
I can imagine, mate. Yeah. Well, for our listeners, do you want to introduce yourself, buddy, and tell us a little bit about Mass Republic Europe?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name's Al Loudon. I started working with Mass Republic probably a couple of years ago now. 2017 is when we opened the European office. Essentially, it's a branch of Mass Republic. So we're not branded Mass Republic Europe. It's sort of, I suppose, in brackets, Europe. But yeah, Mass Republic was set up 2009. Yeah, or actually a bit before that, looking back on it. But that's when, I suppose, operations, as we would recognise them today, sort of came in.
Yeah.
Ruben Zamora, who is the head of Mass Republic, he set it up probably around 2005.
Right.
Which is more really making gear for luchadors, wrestlers. And then from there, I suppose he's actually he trained as a luchador for a period himself. He obviously acquired other responsibilities. You know, just thinking, he then linked up with Kevin Climerock, who is the CEO. Kevin, obviously, he was part of the XPW team, the Extreme Pro Wrestling team back in the day.
That's where the name rings a bell from, right?
Yeah, and then in its infamy, Wrestling Society X that came in MTD afterwards. I think the big break that Mass Republic got initially was actually on the set of Nacho Libre. Ruben was actually approached to secure a ring and a training facility so that they could start filming.
Brilliant.
Or suddenly get something done. But yes, I mean, Ruben was actually working with the NWA at one point. He was president of Latin American relations for them. This is obviously a period when Blue Demon Jr. was actually the NWA champion, then set up the NWA Mexico office.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
And then, yes, as I said, that brings us to 2009 when everything as we recognise Mass Republic to be nowadays was sort of brought in, produced a pilot for Viva La Lucha.
Okay.
Which was for G4 Network. There are various episodes knocking around with, I believe, a pay-per-view as well.
I'm going to have to go and check that out later on. I don't think I've seen it yet, so I'm going to have to go and track that one down.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. We'll have to have a look, see if it's actually available on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, Lucha Las Vegas as well, project. I sort of became aware of them around about 2014.
Right.
I'd sort of come back into wrestling. I sort of had a bit of a break.
Had a bit of a lull, had a bit of a dip, as we all do at some point. Yeah, we all need a breather.
Yeah, and I got into podcasts, listening to podcasts, which, you know, I never knew about before. And Kevin was a guest on one of them talking about Master Mania, which was a pay-per-view, internet pay-per-view that they were putting on. And I don't know, it just sort of grabbed my sort of attention and sort of like the key players like Dr. Wagner Jr., L.A. Park, the original La Parka.
Uh-huh.
I was obviously semi-aware of already. And, it sort of sucked me in and, I suppose from there I maybe started buying a bit of merchandise that Mars Republic produced at the time.
Yes.
And then it culminated to 2017, when I thought it might make sense for them to expand into Europe, maybe help with distribution. Obviously, that's the big problem that we encountered at one point with merchandise was these horrific postal charges from the States. Yes. Maybe see if we could try and source some merchandise from more local suppliers, keep things costs down a bit.
Sure.
And it sort of took off from there. Okay, a lot of merchandise is still generated from the States.
Yeah.
I think when you're talking about things like boss fight figures, it's not something we can actually say, okay, we're going to do over here, because you're talking about collaborating with another company altogether.
Yeah, sure. And all the tooling, exactly. All the tooling and everything that they do is obviously over in the States and things of that nature. Well, you never know. One day, you never know.
Exactly. We exist to obviously just still push the same message. Message is to expand knowledge of Lucha Libre beyond the borders of Mexico. And sort of it coincided with the time as well that a lot of guys, Mexican luchadors, were getting booked here as well.
Sure.
Now it's maybe a lot more frequent, now with programs like AEW. The Lucha Brothers, they're now sort of very much in the public arena. But, maybe there was a time when they weren't so well known outside of, the United States. And it's just obviously, helping draw people's attention. Yes, they're over here and sort of you can see them at these places. We've got, but, we were aware that Iron Fist Pro have got a show in Hammersmith coming up. And they let us know that Taya Valkyrie, the current Impact Knockout champion, will be part of that show. Obviously, we're very well aware of Taya Valkyrie with past associations with AAA when she was working there. Keeping things going, sort of Lucha Libre is maybe the style. It's very prevalent now here over in the UK.
It absolutely is. I mean, there's been...
I say UK, I mean worldwide. I mean...
Completely.
Yeah. You see, so how people are working now, there is very much a lucha influence in there.
It is indeed the high flying, the speed, the excitement of it all. Really, it's very relevant today. I mean, there's a Mexican festival that happens in Newcastle, up where I'm based, every year or so, called Vamos, and part of that is a Mexican wrestling matches. They advertise as legitimate Mexican wrestlers who we know the names of, we'll put it that way. And I believe from what I've heard that they're legitimate as well. And I was blown away when I found that out. I thought it might have been people playing the part in masks. But no.
That does happen. That does happen.
I can imagine it does. I'll send you a link later on. You can tell me if it's the truth or not. You might know better than
I do. I'll tell you off air.
But it's great fun either way, and it's great to see. It's not just, as you say, it's not just a kind of a one-off spectacle as much anymore now. It's not just
I mean, like I said, AEW now on the ITV hub, ITV4, that is now a credible rival to WWE programming.
Indeed.
It's in more homes than WWE programming is, because obviously it's accessibility on FreeSat, FreeView. It does sort of bring these guys closer. Yes, you might have to hunt around a bit for it, but I mean, it does bring them closer. And I suppose if AEW continues to grow, well, who's to say what ITV4 today, it could be part of the ITV schedule in years to come. It'll be probably late at night, but.
Well, it's not as if they're shy about the idea of attempting to get wrestling involved in ITV, is it? They've dipped the toes again as of recent years with wrestling, so it's now's a better chance and time than ever, really, to give it a go. And dare I say, it's actually credible as well. in terms of the viewing figures that it's getting and the interest that it's got. It's not presented like the newer version of World of Sport was, which was almost like a Saturday night family friendly game show kind of
It was a departure from the original World of Sport presentation, which in fact, wrestling in World of Sport was only just like a segment within a bigger program.
Of course.
Yeah. Whereas they were trying to present it as, well, this is actually World of Sport wrestling, which is sort of, yeah, a slightly different concept. I think it was,
That obviously, you know, it goes without saying, hopefully, with a lot of friends who are part of that production. It's no knock on any of the wrestlers at all who were involved. It's more just the way it was presented. It was presented in a very particular kind of way, whereas the AEW programming is presented much differently, much more of as you say, a competitor to WWE.
Yes.
And it's you know, definitely giving them a run for their money. I think that's fair to say. The characters that they've got in there and how they're doing things at the moment is very interesting. You mentioned yourself there, the Lucha Bros, who have the figure stones, if you like, the key figures of the Legends of Lucha Libre figure line, being the first two.
That's right. The first two.
It's incredible how it all links together.
It is, and certainly when you're looking at modern Lucha Libre, they are two of the breakout stars.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. And, you know, my first personal experience of those guys, as I'm sure it was for the vast, vast majority of Europeans and Westerners in general, other than South Americans, is from Lucha Underground.
We would have to have hunted out over here, because obviously it was never officially available over here.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely, you had to know about it, and then you had to go and find it. And I think myself included, I found out about that through, I believe it was even somebody like Steve Austin's podcast. I think he got
right.
Can't believe who he got on off the top of my head at the moment. But he's had different, obviously, wrestlers on for years and years and years. And it was at the time, it was either on the build up to it coming out, or it was just after it started, and I managed to find the first couple of episodes, and that was it. I was absolutely hooked. I'm one of those kind of people who wished I'd have gone into Mexican wrestling when I was younger, rather than the handful of major events like your Triple Manias and things like that you just kind of come across when you're doing DVD trades with people around the world and your tape trading days. And it's one of those things where it wasn't ever that easy to get into unless you really knew where to start and how to get into it and follow on from there. I've always been a bit of a completist, so the idea of watching an episode of something and then randomly seeing something out of timeline with it, I wouldn't be able to do that just because of the way my brain works. So it's only as of, you know, as time's gone on, when you can pick up sets from places, or now there's legitimate ways to watch it where there never used to be. You know, you've got different sites online and different networks, shall we say, that cater towards different promotions, and you can legitimately pick up now and help with that promotion by paying subscription fees and things like that. That never used to be the case, you know, for a long, long time that wasn't the case. So you could only watch it however you could. Yes. And for me, that just meant random DVDs of random big events. But I was always in awe of what I saw. And, you know, part of that, dare I say, was, as I'm sure it was for a lot of people, was with great thanks to mid-90s WCW.
Yes, I mean, certainly, that certainly helped put Lucha on the map, I think. You then had people like, maybe they were non-masked, you know, people like Eddie Guerrero, who then continued it through to sort of WWE. Then I suppose the reappearance of Rey Mysterio, when, you know, obviously there was quite a break between WCW folding and him appearing on WWE programming. I've got to be honest, I think sort of other luchadors they've had, they sort of dropped the ball with.
Indeed. Indeed they did. You know,
they had the potential to be stars, you know. But I think that's just, I don't think it's them necessarily. I think it's just the way how WWE sort of markets its superstars in general now. You know, there is no sort of number one person in the company, you know, sort of. Their weekly television programming works as well, you know, sort of, you know, the stories, you know, they're a bit, some of them, I mean, like playground beefs, really, sort of genuine disputes.
Yes.
And that, I think that's sort of, yeah, certainly from an older adult's perspective, you know, sort of like, well, is this really for me? You know, sort of.
Well, this gets us in nicely into a segment I really wanted to chat about, and that was about the first time you came across masked wrestling in general. For me, the wrestling has always been a case of, if it wasn't for the WWF, I wouldn't know about it. And I'm sure that's the same for pretty much 99% of anybody living in the UK. If you were lucky enough to have a dodgy satellite dish in the late 80s, early 90s, then you could pick up some programming from WWF, such as All American Wrestling and things of that nature. And that was, I was lucky enough to be one of those people. And for me, my first ever introduction, if you like, to a masked wrestler was Paul Diamond as Kato in the Orient Express. That was the first time I'd ever seen a masked wrestler, albeit Paul Diamond, who went on to play other masked wrestlers, such as Max Moon, to a different kind of fanfare and a different time period, for sure. That was the first time I ever saw a masked wrestler. Well, not just a masked wrestler, but he was an American playing the part of a pretend Japanese wrestler as well. It was actually against the Rockers. So in a roundabout way, there was that fast, high-flying, lucha-themed kind of wrestling going on from the Rockers in that match against your out-and-out Japanese-esque wrestler in Pat Tanaka, and then Paul Diamond as Kato in a mask. And I was absolutely hooked. That was my first experience of wrestling. That was the first match I ever saw, and the first wrestling match happened to include a masked wrestler, which, to be honest, without thinking of that beforehand, blows me away a little bit now, thinking of how that actually all came together. My first match happened to be a tag team match. It happened to be a guy in a mask trying to harp from the almost a bit of a high flying, style with a bit of a Japanese style. And it was just a sort of blend of everything. So thank you very much to Saturday Night's Main Event for that one. So what about yourself, buddy? Where did you first come across wrestling? When did you first see it? And who was your first, what was your first experience to a masked wrestler?
It actually goes back quite a way. I did used to watch the original incarnation of World of Sport Wrestling back in the day. I mean, unfortunately, memory's a bit hazy going back. But, you always had, it wasn't lucha, but it was definitely, invariably the heel, on occasions would wear a mask. I suppose that's your first exposure to a masked wrestler, but obviously the most famous one would obviously be Kendo Nakazaki.
Sure.
And I suppose it's that mysteriousness of who's underneath it. Certainly with Kendo Nakazaki, I mean, he was unmasked.
So late 70s, wasn't it? And it was how they went around that as well. I mean, I appreciate that's a show in itself, that one.
Growing up in that time, when you saw, I suppose, the Dynamite Kid when he was on World of Sport. And when you look at his style, and I suppose how Japanese wrestling obviously took a lot out of Lucha Libre as well, in a roundabout way, you're already watching it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Like I said, the Japanese obviously borrowed very heavily from Lucha Libre. Jushin Thunder Liger, he popped up on my vision at some point.
Yeah.
Can't remember when exactly. But again, he's quite a memorable character.
Of course he is, yeah. Everything about him, it's not just a mask, is it? That's a mask.
Yes, his whole presentation. So but yes, unfortunately, I think the most part it was heels and masks, and
unless you kind of really deep dive into the whole origins of Lucha Libre and the masks as such anyway, I think a lot of people would be forgiven for not realizing that it was actually, I think it was an American who went down there in the first place in a mask, and that kind of sort of set the tone. And the same thing happened with Japan as well, And people don't really realize that. But also on top of that as well, the first person that's recognized as wearing a mask was European in France in the 1860s, before he went over to the US as the masked wrestler, shock horror, that old chestnut. We've got a million of them. So it's interesting to see that how it's evolved, but not only that the mask was introduced, so to speak, to Mexican wrestling, but how they have taken that concept and created this entire world from it, and what a world it is.
And certainly in Mexico, it is treated almost as superheroes coming to life. you know, there is a still that, you know, over here, maybe that's waning a lot, you know, but, you know, in Japan, you know, obviously, everything's kayfabed. Mexico, obviously try, you know, but even so, people still have that suspension of disbelief. And, you know, that, like I said, they're sort of superheroes come to life to some people. When you look at the ascension of people like El Santo, Blue Demon, their sons that have come after them, you know, they're held in very high regard within Mexican culture. And now, obviously, we see worldwide, you know, albeit in maybe restaurants and things, but, you know, that culture comes through. And as you said, like, Newcastle has its Mexican festival. You know, we've had a few here in London in recent years. A couple of years ago, there was the Mexican Tourist Board that had a whole year of sort of events. They even had a show on at the Royal Albert Hall, which featured the AAA roster. Yeah, it's very sort of vibrant and alive, and I think it does work. You know, if you get good luchadors with a good presentation.
Completely. I fully understand that. It's as you say, it's all down to the presentation as much as everything is. You've ultimately got your you know, your good guy and your bad guy, and I think a lot of people these days, I think that's the interesting thing, I suppose, with Mexican wrestling. Although the rudos kind of still look very, very, very cool, you still know that, yes, they're the baddies and you boo them, whereas with other, the where it's presented otherwise in other areas, that's lost a bit. That's kind of gone now, unless they're incredibly despicable. So if you come across cool, you're cheered. Whereas in Mexico, it's still, the fans still throw bottles at you. you're a baddie, and that's that. It doesn't matter how cool you are. In fact, that makes it worse. and that's wonderful to see, because that is what you can buy into. That's the theatrical side of watching it from a fan's perspective, and that's something I thoroughly enjoy from watching from a fan's perspective.
Oh yes, I still believe, like, that in any wrestling match, if they can take me out of the moment, then to me they've won. And, like, you know, I suppose, you know, now obviously, you know, taking my son to shows nowadays, he doesn't know obviously the concept of professional wrestling, and it's really good sometimes to see just sort of his face. Yeah, he doesn't know how professional wrestling works, and so to him it is very real. And again, especially if you get some good guys, you know, good heel, good baby face, and his reaction to them, yeah, it is quite a joy to watch. You know, unfortunately, for adults, like I said, unfortunately, that's long gone.
Yeah,
but people can do it. I mean, I'd still, when I watch something occasionally, just something that happened, I'd be like, you know, oh my goodness, yeah. and it's not necessarily a good move. I suppose it's just the way it's been built up and everything. How yeah, it just sucks you in. You're either happy or you're upset because, you know, maybe it didn't go. You know, maybe the heel won. But yeah, I mean, it's great. Yeah, it's great when you can still do that.
It's the kind of thing that keeps us watching. Let's put it that way. Because as you said earlier on to me off air, that we're of a certain age, it's fair to say, and we're at the point where we're introducing younger versions of ourselves into the world of wrestling. So the fact that you've still got the dynamic, and I think that's, as you've quite brilliantly said yourself there, that Mexican wrestling can offer that goodies and baddies, and it's as simple as that, and you can invest however much you want into that. It's really easy to follow, and it's really fun. You don't want any more than that from it, and that's the interesting thing, I suppose. If I watch something such as whatever presentation, whichever company it might be, and we'll use a Mexican one here as an example, I watch it going into it, much like I do with NWA. That's another variation, I suppose, but a very Americanized version, if you like, of the dynamic between goodies and baddies. You know, the straight down the middle, they're goodies and they're baddies. I can go into that watching that and fully understand what it's about. Then the storylines can develop from there, and I don't need any more than that. And I've realized that as you get older, that it's as simple as that. If you keep it clear cut down that line where I can appreciate how you're selling that person to me and that one to me, then I will 100% get into it. And I'm not saying that anybody does it incorrectly, but that's how I personally like it, and I think that's probably why Mexican wrestling appeals to me.
Well, yes, and the general spectacle as well.
Indeed,
The masks,
that
maybe
adds to everything.
Maybe if you watch one of the larger shows, there's a bit of pageantry at the beginning, little things, that just, when you watch somebody like the WWE over the, a period of time. You know, Raw, SmackDown essentially have been very much the same for many, many years. So when you watch something else and it's a slightly different presentation, it immediately hooks you in, or certainly does for me, that, you know, oh, this is a bit different. You know, things aren't quite the same and sort of, yeah.
They've done that themselves, I suppose, internally with NXT, haven't they, really? They've kind of like tapped into something a bit different, and that's automatically gravitated towards a different crowd of people who might not have been that bothered about Raw, SmackDown. There's still crossover appeal, obviously, for the people who do, but there is... It offers something different, and I think that's what we like. We like the options, and we're spoiled for choice.
I suppose originally the idea was that NXT would be the next generation, I suppose, people going through the Performance Center. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as time's gone on, they've brought in people who are already established elsewhere, and they are people, you know, like Matt Riddle, people enjoyed watching on the indie scene.
Yeah,
you know, obviously got a big following on the indie scene, and. Yeah, I suppose it's dragged some of those people with him as well. I don't know. Somehow they managed to invent something that is almost contrary to what they sort of put out on national television.
But, they really have. They sort of tapped into it again, or at least have attempted to, and it's definitely had its peaks and troughs. But with 205 as well, you know, that's very much almost a harp to the cruiserweight division of yesteryear, with how it's presented, or how at least the wrestlers, how they perform, if you like, in the ring, and how they're presented with the size and the kind of aerial assaults and moves that they do, there is that crossover appeal again. And in there you've got Japanese wrestlers and even wrestlers of yesteryear, like Kendrick. We've had obviously Neville was involved with that for a while.
TJ Perkins as well, who has done a lot of work on the lucha scene over the years, and still a comparatively young man, but I mean he's been in the business for years. Yeah, obviously started very young, you know, under various disguises.
Yeah.
we used to sell a t-shirt, probably still got it actually, of different masks he's worn over the years.
Different characters and masks. It tends to go well though with that kind of that's the beauty of, I suppose, somebody who is happy to be well traveled and happy to don the mask, then there's always options going forward.
You're
going to be working with. Well, what we're going to do now is have a bit of a chat about masks, shock horror. And we had a chat to our team about their favorite masks growing up. And there's a lot of crossover with different masks in here. We've had a lot of interest in masks thrown into the discussion. We're going to start with yours, if that's all right, Al. You brought up Psycho Clown.
Yes, probably a controversial choice. I think the initial reaction I got the first time I saw him, I think it was like, how could somebody who looks like they could butcher your family get over as a baby face? And he's probably the number one baby face in AAA.
Yeah,
but when you look at the mask itself, it's quite horrific. And those of his colleagues, you know, Dave Clown, Murder Clown, Monster Clown, they're all pretty gruesome. The kind of like Pennywise that you would sort of obviously actively seek to avoid, like many others. There's quote unquote standard mask that they might wear more often than not, but then when it comes to special events, there are maybe slight takes on it. Like Rey Mysterio used to do, you know, maybe if there was a big film franchise coming out, part of a franchise coming out, he'd sort of maybe come out with a mask that sort of, or a costume as well, that would sort of mix in with that. You know, he obviously did the Phantom years ago. What else? I think he did Spider-Man once, didn't he? So again, like, you know, the Psycho Clown's mask, for maybe the bigger event, he'll have one that's slightly different. It might reflect a film release at the time.
It's
serial killer, whatever you want to call him, but you know, he's sort of the most over baby face you've probably ever seen.
I love the vibrance of it, to be honest, of that mask. Like that red tongue with the blue and black around the eyes of a bright white Uncle Fester face, and then a multicolored Mohican.
but then when you look at sort of Blue Demon Jr., El Santo, El Hijo de Santo, you know, they're good masks. Essentially, they're very simple.
Yeah. You use traditional masks. I suppose that's probably the best way.
Yeah.
Your more traditional design.
And it's obviously, you know, they're very iconic, so they're instantly recognisable. Yeah, they're good in themselves, and you know, it's job done, I suppose, if people can say that mask, that's that person, you know.
Well, out of the rest of the guys in the team who were kind of chucking names forward, you had a couple of pretty sort of standard, understandable kind of throws out there, such as the original Kane mask in WWF, for example.
Yeah, that was
probably the best, my favourite of the masks that he's ever donned was that it was the strikingness of just the simplicity of the sort of black and red jagged lines. But I think everybody just remembers it because of the impact of the debut as well.
I was going to say, yes, it's the character as well. You know,
yeah.
It's very different from what they had at the time. We're obviously, yes, a super heavyweight, which wasn't you in the WWE. But you're right, the actual presentation of him.
Yeah. It's interesting that they ditched the cape. That there's quite a lot of pictures that have been booted around of him where they tested the idea of having a red cape as well to go with that costume.
Superman.
Yeah. Honestly, mate. And then they ditched that one, obviously. And I'm glad that they did, you know. He did a few house shows in it. And it did look a little bit kind of, you know, Grand Emperor rather than Torched Brother. You know, a bit more like a sort of, you know, an evil Wizard of Oz. Well, more evil a version of a Wizard of Oz kind of character. One of the other chaps, you can't go really far without mentioning Muta in the world of masks, specifically more the sort of when he went through the sort of dragon phase of the he'd wear the sort of iconic headpiece to the ring, but also the scarred dragon affected mask that he wore as well. Wonderful, wonderful piece. But that links on nicely to one of my favorite masks. And probably I had a toss up between a couple of different people, actually. More modern era, I'd probably have to go with the first time I saw Drago in Lucha Underground.
Well, that is something special. Yeah.
That is
Taurus as level. Well. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen him, Taurus.
Yes, I have, yes.
Very similar sort of prosthetic mask thing going on.
Just a different level, isn't it?
It is.
The whole concept to, quite literally another world. The characters that they're portraying are very non-human. It doesn't feel anymore like it's a wrestler in a mask. It feels like this is a supernatural entity to an extent, the way that they're presented and things and... Unbelievable, really.
And it works, you know.
Really does. It fits in with the whole culture and the whole scene brilliantly. But yeah, the first time I saw his mask, I think it was the blue version. I know he's had obviously different colours and it's taken on slightly different, you know, ever so slightly different designs and probably more intricate as time's gone on. But it's the first time I saw that blue, the blue version of his, the entire suiting, in fact, you know, with the whole tail that comes off the end and things.
Yep.
Unbelievable. I think
because I saw him as part of that AAA show that came over to the UK. I mean, crikey, that must have been about 4 or 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Albert Hall. Yeah, he was part of that group. Psycho Clown was there. He had Del Fantasma, Demon Jr., the current Parker, who unfortunately is injured at the moment.
Yeah, that was I heard about that, and I think we mentioned on the last show that, you know, we found out about it 5 minutes into our recording, and we're like, oh man, it's such a horrible thing to hear. And have you heard of any updates as of recent as to how he's doing at the moment?
I haven't. The last I heard, I think, was probably about a week ago.
Yeah, likewise.
He was in, I believe, an induced coma. But I haven't heard anything more from him since then.
Thoughts and whatnot go out to everybody involved with him.
Yes, indeed. Yes. He's got a son that's obviously coming through now as well, which would be interesting to see how he goes on. Obviously, the Parker, as we know, the character was obviously somebody else who started with it originally.
That's right. And that in itself is a minefield unless you take the time to really learn the differentiation between the two.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, the Parker we saw in WCW is not the same guy who is currently in AAA. A lot of people do get confused. The one that was in WCW still goes on today as LA Park, currently in MLW, so you can see him every week. Yeah, so he's still going. The original one's still going. But yes, the AAA introduced somebody else to, I suppose, they own the intellectual property of the Parker, and got somebody else in to fill in his shoes. Just, it's not uncommon.
It's asking for feuds, isn't it? Like, you know, it's real life beef. We talked about schoolyard stuff before. This is ownership of identity. You can't get much more kind of personal than that, really. But it's great to see that they've both thrived, you know, as time's gone on over the last decade or so, two decades of them being around at the same time.
Even feuded together at one.
That's right.
One of the Triple Mania main events, I think, was like LA Park versus La Parka and sort of loser leaves town sort of scenario.
Incredible, really. Well, out of curiosity then, what's coming up next? Have you got any interesting snippets of information from Mass Republic Europe about what you're involved with at the moment, or anything that you are leading into, whether it's events or whether it's promoting things, or any wrestlers that you're working with at the moment that you'd like to tell the listeners about?
Well, obviously, leading on from when Eric Caranya was on the show the other week, obviously he alluded to a second wave of figures.
You did indeed.
Boss Fight Studios and Legends of Lucha Libre figures. So, I mean, we have penciled in Lady Maravilla, Conan, who obviously very established in Lucha Libre, Mexico.
Oh, absolutely.
WCW, part of the Wolfpack, currently with MLW at the moment.
Indeed. And you also, for a very, very, very brief snippet, played the original, one of the Max Moons, at least, in WWF for like a week or so. So he's not shy of wearing a mask, you know. And obviously he's wore it in, like, the figure that you guys are bringing out harps back to his pre-days, I believe, like, you know, pre-WWF days, I believe it was. Well, at least the character design I've seen is very early Conan, isn't it?
I believe it would be part of his run he had with Perro Aguayo so many years ago, before he was unmasked. So yeah, that's what I understand. Yes, we also got Laredo Kid, who's obviously another breakout star, and some minifigures as well. And Taya Valkyrie. Sorry, I did forget. Sorry, Taya Valkyrie.
That's right. Yeah. It's a cracking lineup of people who are going to be involved, and I know that everybody is, you know, highly, highly looking forward to this line of figures. And I know the pre-orders are obviously available now.
Yeah, it's not a cheap plug. I mean, seriously, if you guys are figure fans, do pre-order them, because, you know, they are going to be limited numbers. I mean, I'll underline that as well with actually, you know, pre-order now, but they won't be available until summer next year.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I know that bossfightshop.com have got the pre-orders up on there at the moment.
The accessory packs as well.
Incredible, anyway. And I know that he mentioned as well that they were toying with the idea of bringing out the concept of more of a still a very highly articulated line of figures, but more of a what you'd maybe deem as a basics line. They'll be seen as more basic. They're still going to be incredibly highly detailed.
Yeah, it's probably not as articulated. Probably more back to how earlier figures used to look.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, I mean, from what we've seen so far of everything that's been announced, it looks absolutely spectacular line of figures. We're definitely getting our hands on some, and we'll definitely be reviewing them, because it's such a great time to be a figure collector for a lot of people these days, because the beauty is that manufacturers, whether they're independent manufacturers, whether they're people who are bringing out other toy lines, for example, in Japan, you've got Super 7 who are bringing out a very specific Japanese line at the moment.
We've actually got a series with them too as well.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah, brilliant stuff.
I mean, probably the best place to have a look there is if you go to the American Amazon site, not the UK one. Yeah. They're actually there on the Master Republic store on the American Amazon website. So
fantastic stuff. Well, the beauty is with the figures that you guys are releasing is that they're all in scale as well, with the most popular of current wrestling figures on the market being Mattel's. And people, figure collectors, it's one of the first questions they ask when they hear of a new line coming out: what's the scale? What scale are they? Are they going to fit and work with the other figures that I've got in my collection?
Yes.
Because a lot of people like to pose them and display them in certain ways, and the answer is yes, they are. And you can't get better than that as an answer.
And the fact that some of them are now coming with alternative masks as well, which again, you're not just stuck with the figure you have in front of you. You can well, I said customize it. No, you can't customize it any how you want, but I mean, you can, you know, change the heads, change the masks. I think is a plus. Yeah,
definitely is. It's a fantastic time to be a toy collector, that's for sure. So yeah, if you want to get a hold of any of those figures, get yourself onto bossfightshop.com. And also, you know, there'll be links on social media sites as well, such as at Mass Republic E for Mass Republic Europe, and on our site as well, and at Grapple Arcade, we've always got links to the different figures and wares upon there. So, yes, it's been absolutely wonderful chatting to you, Al. Where can people learn more about what's happening with Mass Republic in general?
Well, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, we've got you can search for Mass Republic or Mass Republic Europe. We've got accounts on all three of those. We work with luchacentral.com in English and in Spanish. It has regular updates on Lucha Libre, breakdowns of shows. Occasionally we have live footage on there, live interviews. Predominantly, maybe they may be in Spanish, but that's fine. Yeah,
that's authentic as far as we're concerned. Yeah, it's the real deal.
So those are the best ways to get hold of us. Legends of Lucha Libre, which is where a lot of our current collaborations are coming from, that handles more of the licensing side of things. They're on all platforms too. Expo Lucha coming up in Philadelphia next year. We've run two to date. This year was in San Diego. Last year it was in Las Vegas, 2-day convention, 3 shows over the 2 days, 50 plus stars, you know, meet and greets. It's a big convention, sort of, you know, the biggest Lucha Libre convention outside of Mexico. And like I said, in funny ways, it comes back full circle because in Philadelphia, it'll be at the 2300 Arena, also known as the ECW Arena.
Indeed, where a lot of us grinded our teeth when we first got involved and we first found a little bit more out about international wrestlers, shall we say.
Certainly Rey Mysterio.
Indeed, Psychosis.
Yeah, started there before WCW.
Indeed, I know. It's incredible, isn't it? It goes full circle. And likewise as well with Kai and Tai, you know, a lot of the Japanese guys found the feat in ECW. It was almost like a sort of proving ground before Vince decided to take them on. It was an interesting time, that's for sure.
So, obviously, adding into that, if you go to expolucha.com, tickets go on sale, I believe, this Friday, which would be Friday the 15th. But you can actually go on there and see what the different ticket packages comprise of. We are working with Wrestling Travel, who have done a lot of trips to StarCast, WrestleManias, Royal Rumbles. Yep. We're working with them. I believe at some point this week they'll be releasing prices so that if anybody's coming from anywhere else in the world to Expo Lucha, you know, they would advise on or do packages that would involve entrance, flights, hotels. It's truly remarkable. Yeah, the last couple of years we haven't had that.
Incredible. A lot of people, well, Wrestling Travel will likely, I'm assuming, they'll be at For the Love of Wrestling again in April next year, when we'll obviously be there as well as per usual with our gaming setup and whatnot. So a lot of people, if they've got questions about it, I'm sure they'll be able to answer those questions for you in person as well, because they'll probably have a little bit more information about it by that point. And then maybe get a petition started to get the third one over in the UK.
Well, we're always lobbying for that. I mean, certainly,
I bet you are.
certainly, I mean, we've got no end of people that would like to be on there.
I'm sure there are.
Mass Republic Europe are on our social media platforms. You know, we help, we work with Lucha Britannia here in London, helping plug their shows, giving their shows exposure. Their London Lucha League as well, Premier British Wrestling up in Scotland, Body Slam in Denmark, Pro Wrestling Holland, Wrestling Cult over in Germany, Pro Wrestling Eve as well. You know, we started working with Resolution over in Belfast. They had their first show last night. And as I mentioned earlier, Iron Fist Pro on the 22nd of November in Hammersmith. Uh-huh. Ty of Valkyrie, Speedball Mike Bailey, Mao and Giselle Shaw. So, I mean, that's quite a good set up there.
Indeed it is.
There are, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, the Lucha Libre style is very prevalent over here. We enjoy working with people like Lucha DS up in Scotland. He sort of reminds me to a degree, you know, he's got that sort of charisma of like Rey Mysterio, that sort of white meat baby face. You know, he's definitely something to look out for. You know, Young Lion over in Belfast. He trained in Mexico. Was it last year? I think he went over there for. Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, trained over at CMLL. So, yeah, and we've had like ambassadors, you know, brand ambassadors. You know, many of them now have gone on to bigger, better things like, well, you said El Ligero earlier, Nina Samuels, you know, Shana, who had her AEW debut this last week, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Session Moth Martina, who's off to Ring of Honor, isn't she?
Indeed. It's incredible to see. Much like we were discussing before, how much option there is now as a wrestling fan, it's great as well for the wrestlers, you know, some of the friends of the show, that the doors have opened for them in other areas as well. And now the spotlight's on them, and people are recognizing, not just in the UK, but obviously worldwide, the kind of talent and caliber that we're producing over here as well from as wrestlers. And it's wonderful to see that they're being recognized. Good friend of ours, Joe Hendry's also with Ring of Honor at the moment.
Yes.
A good friend of ours from the show, Green Ant from Shakara, he's just gone over to Michinoku Pro this past week to go for a mini tour as well. So it's wonderful to see that so much is going on, and everybody's getting a chance to show their wear and also develop skills, I suppose, as well from wherever they're going. So it's wonderful to see.
Well, in terms of merchandise, I mean, obviously we spoke about Boss Fight Studios with the figures.
Indeed.
If you go to amazon.co.uk, which obviously probably more relevant for us, you know, we do have officially licensed Luchador t-shirts. I will say with a caveat, the way that the Amazon present it, there are actually third-party people in there. So if anybody's not sure about what they're buying and obviously wants to buy officially licensed, they just send me a screenshot. You know, our DMs are always open. You verify whether it's one of ours or not. But yes, we've got official Rey Mysterio t-shirts, Penta 0M, Rey Fénix, LA Park, Conan.
List goes on.
Yes. We've got the Legends of Lucha Libre 2020 calendar. We've got this super thumb wrestling kit as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, you get masks put on your thumbs, you know, capes, a mini wrestling ring as well. If you go to our US store, yes, you then get the Rey Mysterio Halloween costume.
Oh, brilliant.
Penta 0 Halloween costume. I'm hoping to get one in the Amazon store over here, but
that would be amazing.
It would. Unfortunately, it's now a bit late this year.
Well.
And yes, you can see the Super 7 figures that I spoke about earlier. They're on there too. Picks Bricks, which is like a building block system.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, check them out at picksbricks.com. We've got, let me think, what else have we got? ProWrestlingTees.com/MasterRepublic. Again, another large selection of officially licensed Luchador t-shirts. We also got the Luchaverse comics.
Yeah, I'm very much aware of these. I've yet to obtain one, but I've seen them around for a little while now, and I will. I'm on the hunt, so I'll be grabbing one soon. That's for sure.
Yes, I mean, certainly the easiest way to get a hold of them is to go to the Comixology app. If you're looking for the hard copies, I would go to Luchaverse.com. Yeah, then we have our own Lucha shop, which has the Master Republic baseball jackets, a Rudo's baseball jacket,
and
the original AAA action figures. You know, they're obviously quite old now.
Yeah, well, I've seen the Conan ones. It's the yellow and green one, isn't it? The Conan one, I believe. Yeah, right. I know which ones you mean. Yeah, oh, mate, I'm a big fan of those. I didn't realise you... Oh, right, okay, I'll be checking those out as well.
Yeah, and every week you can hear the Master Republic Minute on the Keeping Up 100 with Conan podcast.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. I really, really appreciate you jumping on for a chat about us all things. I mean, let's be honest, we could turn this into a 20-part sort of mini-series about mask wrestling, couldn't we? I mean, where do you stop with it? So yeah. We appreciate that this is very much a very quick skim over the world of masked wrestling, if you like, and the Mexican influence. But hopefully it's given our listeners an insight into what you guys are about. And yeah, man, that's excellent stuff. I mean, like, hopefully we'll have a chance to have a catch up again in the near future, maybe in the turn of the new year or something, to see how things are going. I'm sure there'll be a lot more announcements by then about what's happening next, and we'll have a bit more of a chat about masked wrestlers in general. I think it's always a good topic that we can't stay away from ourselves, you know. I mean, our icon itself, our entire brand's based on masked wrestlers, if you check it out. Yeah. It's can't help ourselves. So yeah, once again, thank you so much for joining us, Al. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Not a problem whatsoever. And to all of our listeners, you know, you can catch this, well, I'm sure you'll be listening to it now, but you can catch this and more on our SoundCloud page, as well as our iTunes page, but many other places to check this and other discussions and interviews out. Best place to go is bbgwrestling.com, where you can find all of our interviews, all of our competitions and tournaments, all of our podcasts and everything on that hub alone. But you can also check everything that we do out on Twitter as well, at Grapple Arcade, at bbgwpod, at BBG Wrestling, at Turn Chuckle. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time. All the best.